Back to your question, Senator. These were discussions that were had between the Pittsburgh field office, the local counterparts, and everyone supporting that visit that day. And that's why when I laid in that position, I could not, and I will not, and I cannot understand why there was not better coverage, or at least somebody looking at that roofline when that's where they were posted.
That is the acting Secret Service Director, Ronald Rowe, and they've been having this hearing all morning. I've been listening to the majority of it. It's pretty stunning how we got to the place. That's what a lot of us have been thinking. How did this happen? How did somebody get such a clear shot of the former president of the United States and a current candidate nominee to become the next president of the United States? How did someone get a clear shot? You've got two choices. Either you believe that it was a massive breakdown of the systems that are in place to protect those individuals that are garnered this type of elite level of protection. Massive system failure. Or there's the other thing. Something a little bit more conspiratorial. Something that is more nefarious. And I have appreciated the way that we have heard senators on both sides of the aisle today questioning the member from the Secret Service who is there and also the FBI representation. I have appreciated how they've said, you know, the more information you give us, the less information the public chooses to fill in the blanks. I can't remember which senator it was. It'll come to me off the top of my head. It might have been Rick Scott. I'm not 100% sure. Was saying, you know, I went to church this weekend. I had three different people asking me if there was a second shooter. There's a lot of information that is missing, and the American people don't trust the information that they're being given, both from an open and honest and transparent government and a media that holds them accountable. This is the system breakdown that you have, which means that we have multiple system failures here, of course. Our YouTube poll for you today is, how do you see the attempt on Trump's life? Is it a massive system failure? Or is it something more conspiratorial? And that's a broad second option, because I think that there are different ways that you can look at this. Of course, you could think it was completely plotted out by Joe Biden, and I do not believe that to be the case in any way, shape, or form, but there are people who do. Or you can believe that maybe there was something that was stitched together by inaction. How many times, I mean, Brad, I can think of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as the one that comes to mind, and I correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't she say if President Trump is a convicted felon, he should lose his Secret Service protection?
Yeah. Yes. But one of them actually tried to introduce, and I think it was Bowman, tried to introduce legislation to make that happen. Oh, man, who was it? It was one of the squad.
Regardless, why do you think that they wanted that to happen? I mean, you're either ignorant or you know exactly what you're doing. Ignorance is, in my opinion, the absence of information. I have a little more patience for ignorance than I have for stupidity. But when you hear people, this is where it starts to get deep, deep, deep under my skin. When you hear people like that suggest, you know, we got the convicted felon. They put it in the front of the Hollywood letters in California, if they could figure out a way to make that happen. Once you get that convicted felon manufactured label for Donald Trump, which likely will be completely poof, gone into thin air upon appeal. Once they got that convicted felon label, it gave them a ticket to get into a whole bunch of other arenas where they could play with that word. They were playing with the word. The idea of being a convicted felon should mean something in this country, and the people who are the most aggressively in office on the left want to free convicted felons, want to make sure that they are seen as victims in this country, unless, of course, you're Donald Trump. If your name is Trump, that just changes the whole game. They get the convicted felon label, and now they get to use it as entry to new conversations, like convicted felon shouldn't have taxpayer-funded Secret Service. You have to ask yourself, well, why would one need Secret Service protection? You don't need Secret Service protection just because you are a fancy person who got the most votes somewhere. You need Secret Service protection because people want you dead. That's why we have elite taxpayer-funded protection. It's to protect the life of the protectee. You do not have to be Mensa to understand that concept. I don't think that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is stupid. I don't think that Bowman is stupid. I don't think that the people in the squad are stupid. And I think that it is short-sighted to assume that any of them are stupid. They're actually pretty smart. They just have incredibly different intentions. When we listen to people suggest that Donald Trump should now lose Secret Service protection, and this was, of course, before the shooting, when we hear them say that, you do have to pause and ask yourself, do they understand why that individual has Secret Service protection to begin with? To protect their life. Because if they do understand that, and they're saying that they shouldn't have it, they are choosing to no longer protect the life of the person that they have in their sights. That's really no different than saying they don't care if that person is dead. This is coming from the side of the aisle that says that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. I mean, good grief. Think about that for just a second, that the people on the left who are saying that Donald Trump doesn't deserve Secret Service protection anymore because he's a convicted felon through a manufactured trial, a sham trial. You know it. I know it. The people on the left know it. That's why they're so gleeful about it. At least right now, they got it in before the election. That was the only plan. Whatever happens after that doesn't matter. They got it in before the election. They got the convicted felon title that they wanted. When they're saying that they want their political opponent unprotected, I'm not going to go so far as to say they want him dead, because I think that that's a stretch. I think that they never let a good crisis go to waste in that instance. But when you look at the far, far left, the people on the most progressive side of the Democrat Party, you see that they want to remove the defense of that protectee's life. And then in the same breath, they say that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. That is dangerous hypocrisy. It's scary hypocrisy. And I don't believe that that attitude is one of ignorance. When Senator Klobuchar was asked, given the opportunity to ask the acting Secret Service director to say, hey, tell us, just sum it up for us, because there are people out there right now who have a lot of thoughts. They're filling in a lot of gaps. Tell us what went wrong.
No, thank you, Senator. I thought long and hard about this. I think this was a failure of imagination, a failure to imagine that we actually do live in a very dangerous world, where people do actually want to do harm to our protectees. I think it was a failure to challenge our own assumptions, the assumptions that we know our partners are going to do everything they can, and they do this every day. But we didn't challenge our own assumptions of, we assume that someone's going to cover that. We assume that there's going to be uniform presence. We didn't challenge that internally during that advance. So moving forward, I've directed that when we're talking to people and we're making requests, we are very specific about what we want. We are providing explicit instructions on exactly what our expectation is and what we need them to do and what we want them to do. That's the only way that we're going to be able to move forward beyond this. And let me just tell you that our state and local law enforcement partners are the best. So this this belief that somehow they are less than federal law enforcement or they're less than the Secret Service. They're out there patrolling communities every day. They're the ones out there going into hazardous conditions every day. They know their communities. They have the ability to enforce state and local laws. Our advanced agents do not.
Right.
We need them, and we need them to be partners with us. And I think we need to be very clear to them, and that may have contributed to this situation.
Yeah.
It's obvious that the acting director understands there was a massive breakdown with the system, which is what's the phrase you always say, Brad? Never let.
Never attribute to malice that which can be explained by incompetence.
It's fancier than the poll, but it's the same. It's the same thought. You got to tell us what you think. I'm interested in your comments. I even ran this poll. I've never done this before. I even ran this poll by our program director and was like, I mean, we're in weird territory. Brad, when we're casually talking on the air, like I'm even wording my things on social media a specific way so that I don't get flagged or squashed down or whatever. This is real.
Yes.
We are here.
Yes. Yeah. And I think I talked about this a little bit before you got back. But the thing about it is we are here and this is real because of things that were done leading up to this moment. The way things were handled during COVID, the way things that were, you know, every time there was something, we don't have a media that we can trust. And then it seems like every major government organization just isn't really interested in telling us what's going on. So what they end up doing is they either lie about it or they don't tell us anything. And then that allows conspiracy theories to start flourishing and building up. And then you've got this massive thing where nobody knows what's what as far as what's up, what's down, what's real, what's not. And my question inevitably becomes, is that an accident or is that by design? Do they want us confused?
Senator Rick Scott in his questioning.
Do you guys realize the value of going in front of the press and answering all their questions? I mean, you realize that if you don't do it that way, everything gets filtered. You get to put out all the information, and you should be providing. I mean, you should be every day saying, "This is what we know now." This is like Senator Johnson put together a timeline. You should have put together a timeline. You should immediately put out, "This is what we know right now, and this is what we don't know." Like you've said, you don't know how the gun got up there, right? You've said it, but that should have been out all along. Say, we're looking at it. It doesn't make any sense. We've done this. We've done this. We've done this. If you do, I mean, I just don't get it. Why what you're doing? You're ruining. I've said this about the FBI. I mean, the people that work the FBI, people work at Secret Service, they're great people. You're a black hole. You lose the support of the American public because people don't believe you're being direct with them.
I appreciate Senator Scott's remarks there because he's clearly saying, tell us so that we don't have to fill in the gaps or so that as senators, you don't have to go back to your constituents and listen to wild conspiracy theories that we don't actually have information that refutes them. What do the American people deserve to know? They deserve to know every single detail that by making it public doesn't put somebody else in danger. And I'm listening to this hearing today going, gosh, should we be talking about this out loud like this? Do we want to make it so that we know that at the next rally, here's all the procedures that were in place there. Here's where all the breakdowns were. I mean, they sounds like they're pretty committed to it. But by the next rally, which he's going back to Butler, Pennsylvania, to finish the rally, you going to be doubling your efforts? I assume they will. Your senator, Missouri, Josh Hawley, went to town, as he is apt to do. I was listening to him. I was walking around with my phone listening to the hearing like a nerd. And I'm like, what a prosecutor. He sounds like a dad who found a baggie of something in his kid's room and he is on it. He is ready to go. When we come back, we're going to listen to that exchange between Josh Hawley and the people at this hearing. We're going to watch it on our Annie Fry YouTube channel. So if you want to join us and watch along with us, you'll be able to hear everything on the radio perfectly. If you want to watch it, make sure you come to the YouTube channel and vote. How do you see the attempt on Trump's life? Is it a massive system failure or something more conspiratorial? At 1:05, Jim Carafano is going to join us. I got a lot to talk to him about. I'm going to ask him to comment on what he's heard today in the hearing, if he's been paying attention to the hearing and the breakdown that allowed a bullet to strike the body of Donald Trump, which means Donald Trump was shot. And if you want to say elsewhere, get out of here. Don't talk to me. Leave. You're dumb. That sums it up, right? I'm going to talk to him about what's going on in northern Israel, and I want to talk to him about what's going on in Venezuela. I should ask him if he could stay till 3. Jim Carafano, it's going to be a great conversation at 105. Let's hear from Josh Hawley when we come back. Amy. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday afternoon here in St. Louis. We've been watching the testimony that the hearing, I should say, well, both. The Senate is questioning the acting Secret Service director, as well as the FBI. And very interesting things have come out of this. There's a lot of answers that were not provided. There's like an admission like, wow, this went bad. And I think everyone's going, yeah, that went real bad. Somebody died. And I think it's important that we remember that it's not just about the fact that Donald Trump's life was not taken, but that somebody else's was. There is somebody at this rally who was there exercising his right to support a political candidate, and he lost his life because of this breakdown. Somehow or another, Donald Trump was able to escape what looked like a certain death by a miracle of the hand of God, but another person didn't. We're asking you today, how do you see the attempt on Trump's life, a massive system failure or something more conspiratorial? Russell said, I believe it was a total system failure. Identified a suspicious person 90 minutes before the shots. Also took photos of the person 30 to 40 minutes prior. Unimaginable he wasn't stopped prior. Vicky said, huge system failure. I just wonder how many others were not as protected as they thought that they were. George said, incompetence can only go so far. The breakdowns that happened lends itself to something more. So I've been watching the results of this poll come in, and honestly, they've gone back and forth between the two options, system failure, something more conspiratorial, and the results are coming in, and you guys are pretty divided by this, which is why we wanted to ask the question, because I wasn't really 100% sure where at least our audience is. Of course, this isn't a super scientific poll. It's just it's a polling of people who want to sign on to YouTube and listen to the Annie Fry Show, but I'm curious where you are on this issue. And it seems as though, at least for now, this audience of this show on 97.1 FM Talk are pretty divided. Here in Missouri, we are blessed to have Senator Josh Hawley, and he always brings the heat as a prosecutor.
And as opposed to zeroing in on one,
what more do you need to investigate to know
exactly what more do you need to investigate to know
that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable? I mean, what more do you need to know?
What I need to know is exactly what happened, and I need my investigators to do their job, and I cannot,
a lot of people didn't do their
jobs. Put my thumb on the scale. Otherwise,
what do you mean put your thumb on the
objective, scale? You're asking me, Senator, to completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure of the
Secret
Service.
Is it not prima facie that somebody has failed? A former president was shot.
Sir, this could have been our Texas school book depository. I have lost sleep over that for the last 17 days, just like you have.
Fire somebody to hold them accountable.
I will tell you, Senator, that I will not rush to judgment, that people will be held accountable, and I will do so with integrity and not rush to judgment and put people unfairly persecuted.
Unfairly, we've got people,
sir,
who are
we
dead.
We have to be able to have a proper investigation into this, Senator.
You said earlier that you've got to make sure that your protocols are followed, and unless there's a protocol violation, people wouldn't be disciplined. I would just say to you, I don't really care that much about your protocols. I think if your protocols don't provide for the fact that when a former president is shot, when an American is killed, when other rally goers, innocent people who just showed up on the day, when they are shot at and critically wounded, if that isn't a protocol violation, prima facie, you should revise your protocols.
Senator, I think this is where you and I agree. This was a failure, and we will get to the bottom of it.
Well, I hope you're going to do something about it. Let me ask you something else. The Real Clear Politics reports this morning that you were directly involved in denying additional security resources and personnel, including counter snipers, not just to this event, but over the last 2 years that President Trump's team repeatedly asked for these additional resources, and you personally were involved in denying them. Is that true?
Senator, as I stated earlier, that is not true.
So you never denied any resources to former President Trump's team?
No, not me. No,
and,
sir.
And you, weren't involved in any of that? And you were never involved in the decision making?
No, sir, I was not.
Let me ask you just one or two other things here quickly. Well, whistleblowers tell me that, in fact, law enforcement were stationed to be on that roof and that law enforcement abandoned their post because it was too hot. Is that accurate?
Senator, I have heard that as well. They posted up inside. And I think moving forward, as I said earlier, we're going to ensure that state and local counter snipers are on roofs.
But do you know if someone was supposed to be on the roof? Do you know if someone was in fact? That's what the whistleblowers tells me. That may or may not be accurate. Do you know that to be the fact? Was somebody posted to the roof, local law enforcement or whomever?
I do not know that to be a fact.
Well, can I ask you why you don't know that?
Again, Senator, we are looking at this, and they should have been on that roof. And the fact that they were in the building is something that I'm still trying to understand.
I just want to express my frustration, Director, that 17 days or whatever it's been, that whistleblowers are telling us more than you are, and you don't know, you haven't ascertained if there was supposed to be law enforcement on the roof. That seems like a pretty basic fact. I'm also told that local law enforcement suppliers offered the Secret Service drones, and you declined them. Is that true?
So, Senator, I've been very transparent and forthcoming.
Your agency has not been transparent and forthcoming, so please, but let's not go there.
I have been forthcoming, sir.
That remains to be seen. You've been on the job a few days. So far, you've fired nobody. Now, the drones.
Thank you, sir.
Were you offered drones?
Senator Hawley.
So there was an offer to fly a drone on that day.
And why did you deny it?
I think the ability of local law enforcement to provide an asset, we probably should have taken them up on it if it was offered.
So you've been listening to Senator Josh Hawley questioning the acting Secret Service Director, Ronald Rowe, and Hawley brought heat the way I did not hear other senators before him aggressively questioned. Mike Lee, he kind of got worked up. John Kennedy did his John Kennedy thing. There is one point where John Kennedy, I think he asked if Trump was shot by space lasers. I'm not joking. Or murder hornets. Maybe we could get the clip. But it was true John Kennedy fashion. I almost am hesitant to do that because I feel like this is more serious than that.
Yeah.
And when I was listening to some of the other senators questioning the Secret Service Director, he's the acting Secret Service Director, I guess the last one. She gone. When I'm listening to him, they were always prefacing, like, with their utmost respect for authority, for law enforcement. It's very sad to me that there's all of this pomp and circumstance that needs to be said to be like, I'm going to question what happened when Donald Trump was almost assassinated. One of his supporters was shot dead at a rally. But I need to make sure that politically everybody knows that I do back the blue. Why isn't it default that we back the blue? Well, we know the answer to that.
So I listened to this, and just a comment on the tone. This sounds like whenever I am upset with Charter or Spectrum, and they don't have good answers for what I'm saying.
Have you been talking to Mark
Reardon? No, but I do know that he's been having some trouble with that.
But
this Secret Service Director, the acting Secret Service Director, is in the position of trying to defend the indefensible, and Hawley's absolutely right on that. But Hawley's also absolutely right in the sense that you have to make consequences, even if that's looking horrible in front of the American people. If that's the only consequence, there has to be a consequence for it. The one line that really stuck out to me whenever he clapped back at Hawley, and he's like, this could have been our school book depository. And it's like, yes, that's why he's angry. This is a failure. It is a failure, or it is, or, you know, to our
something
poll questions.
Else.
Yeah. Or it's conspiratorially something else. Either one of those is horrible.
Aren't we begging for it to be a system failure?
We need it to be a system failure.
Because you could fix that.
Yes.
the other thing has no end to the digging.
The fix to the other thing is way bigger and way more involved and way more horrible than anybody ever wants to even think about or imagine.
When you watch, here's my experience of this. I'm thinking to watching Blue Bloods. Have you ever, do you?
I've seen it.
Blue Bloods. Yes, I understand. It's a show on, I think, CBS. I get it. It's not real life, but they do work very hard to mimic the existence of the NYPD and the understanding of the politics that go on within the department and the politics in the outside world that infiltrate and, you know, the different levels of seniority and how it all works. But what I've learned from that and Tom Selleck's position as the commissioner of the NYPD is that you do have to, in that position, and I assume that that's what's happening here with the acting Secret Service director, you don't want to lose the confidence of your rank and file.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that Secret Service has rank and file.
Yeah.
They're just
yeah,
there's elite less rank of them and file. And they're yes, they're BA. So what I hear from him politically, internally, is wanting to make sure that when he goes back to the office, that they don't look at him and say, you sold us out. But this is the part where leadership, if you're in this position, you've got to answer to the people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to answer to the American people. I understand that you don't want to lose the confidence of those people who are in your department, people who you likely know personally. And I would assume in the Secret Service, just like in the military, that the bonds you form with your coworkers there are unlike bonds you form when you're like in accounting mm-hmm. for a major business.
Yeah. And to that point, you don't want to lose their confidence. I really think the only way that you lose their confidence, though, is if you throw them under the bus for something that wasn't their fault.
If there is something that needs to be called out, if there's someone who messed up, you're not going to get this covered up.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to stay covered up. And there has to be accountability. And what I'm pulling from, just from an observational standpoint, I'm Jane Citizen sitting here watching this going, how do I know this isn't going to happen again? How do I know that Donald Trump, when he goes back to Butler, how do I know that roof's going to be covered? I mean, it sure as heck better be, obviously. But how do I know? How do I trust you? And the only way that I can trust is that if you come out and prove that it was a system failure with all of these things put in place. And the complicated thing here is that I shouldn't really know what the systems are that are put in place, because if I know them, then the next crooks knows them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more complicated than that, which means that the mea culpa of this particular representative, the acting director of the Secret Service, what he has to go out there and do is assure the American people that the protection of the target is above any other purpose that can be served, including protecting those who I'm sure he loves and respects who made a mistake. That was something else that a senator said. It was Rand Paul. Rand Paul made a good comment. He said, just because you make a mistake doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Right.
But we still need to have accountability for those mistakes. And that's exactly right. There are people, you know those people, and if you're listening right now, you might have been that person at some point in time. Maybe not to this extent, but you made a mistake. You are a good person, made a mistake, and you had to pay the consequences for it, but that doesn't mean that you're a bad person. You have an entire context of life that exists around that, that doesn't make that one mistake define who you are, but it doesn't take the mistake away. That mistake will leave a scar. It will form and shape the rest of your life, and hopefully not many other people's lives, but possibly. You cannot pretend that the mistake doesn't exist. You have to look directly into it and understand every inch of it so that it never happens again.
Right. You can't fix what went wrong if you don't acknowledge that something, in fact, did go wrong. I'm going to put this in the context of my job here as producer. There are things that go wrong technically, or buttons that I have clicked incorrectly, And like the very first thing that you got to do after you do that is look at this and go, okay, what was it that I did incorrectly in here? Do you understand what you did incorrectly? And then you know what to do moving forward to fix it. That's how they regain the confidence of the American people. They said, they look at this situation. They said, we've identified these five areas where we failed. And we have implemented strategies. And like you said, you don't want to put these out there, but you offer it to the senators in a closed door hearing or whatever. Hey, we can show you what we did. We just don't want this to be public knowledge because then the next shooter would go out there and do it. But I can give you what we've done to implement to correct the problems. And then the senators can come back out to the American people and said, yes, we've saw it. We've seen it. We can verify it. They have addressed the issues. We have confidence moving forward. That's how you do it. It's the honesty and the realness with the people that builds, rebuilds the confidence.
There's also, like, I like your example of you're running the board. You're in charge of a lot of things. And every mistake you make is public.
It's very public.
It's for everybody to know. And sometimes you know that there are mistakes and sometimes we will try to play it off. But oftentimes after something like that happens, my question to you is, what happened? Sometimes the answer is, I have no idea. You can go back and look at the tapes. He's not touching anything. And then we got to dig deeper. Other times it's this happened and this happened. He's, you know, Brad is often trying to do like six things at one time. And his focus was over here and something bad happened over there. And then you just have to, and I have to trust you to just try not to let that happen again, whatever that situation might be. And then you just move on. But you have to address the issue. You can't just be like,
Being honest with yourself about the mistakes that you make is how you improve in your craft, whatever it is. Yes. My craft isn't protecting the president, and it doesn't carry with it the same stakes that that does.
It's protecting Ryan Wiggins.
But yeah, it's protecting Ryan Wiggins. Yeah, I'll be the one diving on top of him if somebody shoots him in the ear.
Ooh, let's just practice. During Wiggins America, right in the middle.
Yeah.
Smack.
Get down, Mr. President. Get down, Mr. Wigglesworth.
If you yell, get down, Mr. President, I wonder if he'd just hit the deck. I'm going to get to his psyche a little bit. he probably did in his office when you said that.
But it is. It's how you improve. Mm-hmm. It's how you get better at the job. And I don't understand the idea or the mindset that says that I'm the best that there is at this and there's no room for improvement. I don't get that. You could be the best that there is at that. And if you are truly a competitor, if you're truly pursuing excellence, you always identify the room for improvement. And whenever I see like the previous lady, Cheadle, she was just... didn't want to say anything, was in complete CYA mode.
And I saw the headlines. That was vacation mode for me. So I saw the headlines. She's out. I didn't consume that.
Oh, man. It was bad. I,
from all the right subjects I could garner, it was no bueno. No. Kate says, as poorly as they did last time, the damn roof will be the only thing well covered. Let's hope not.
They'll have a whole team up there.
Yeah. We want to know from you in the YouTube live chat poll, how do you see the attempt on Trump's life? A massive system failure or something more conspiratorial? JC said, there was more behind this, I'm afraid. And Janine said, how can anyone not see that there is some conspiracy aspect? Well, looking at the results as they come in, you guys are pretty close. So if you've got a thought on this, we want to hear what you have to say. We're going to keep reading your thoughts throughout the course of the show. And we'll give the results of today's poll. System failure or something conspiratorial? At about 2:55 is usually when we read those results. Don't go away. Let's get Wiggins America in here. Mr. President, in just a minute. Don't go away.
It's gonna take time.
Wiggins.
Oh! Wiggins
science. Yeah, this is the science. So I apologize ahead of time that you can't debate it, but we can talk about it.
Oh, we can debate it.
No, it's the science. You can't.
You can debate it. Nobody listens.
Yeah, I am the science.
We'll just get kicked off of YouTube.
I wish you had some Fauci underpants on right now. Maybe you do.
That was a long pause and a weird look, Ryan.
Yeah, he's like, how does she know?
Dang it.
You're making a lot of assumptions about my underwear. I don't appreciate that.
I don't want to think about it anymore. Never mind. Forget I said it. I regret everything.
Okay. Do you consider yourself, after that joke, to have a dark sense of humor?
I have a broad sense of humor because I'm a woman.
That's right where I was going. Doggone it. You beat me. Brad, do you have a broad sense of humor?
Can't write this stuff.
I have a good sense of humor, yes.
Are you a good humor man?
No.
The question originally was, do you have a dark sense of humor?
Yeah. Indeed.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I would think that everybody, everybody has a little, even if you say you don't, you have a little streak of it. Because everybody gets a good, like, ooh, taboo joke every now and then. So there is a study about this that says people with dark humor and other, but they took it very dark, apparently, other cruel personality traits are more likely to engage in online trolling.
Lump those together.
Doesn't it seem a little much?
Brad's a troll.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you just admitted that you have a dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
They're saying that people who openly admit, yes, I have a dark sense of humor, are more likely to troll online.
Yeah, I troll online. But what was the other part of that? Dark sense of humor and what?
Cruel personality traits.
That is not me.
That's what I thought. Well, I'm like, really?
This seems like the science, because it's like, let's just take two things that we don't like and stick them together and tie them together with the science.
And call them one more thing that annoys us online.
Mm-hmm. And which is kind of vague. You know, if I say you have a dark sense of humor, you can interpret that really any way you want. But now it's part of established science because it's been published in the Journal of Behavioral Sciences. And they are saying
how did they spell behavioral? Is it like
it doesn't matter. How about this one? How did they spell Machiavellianism? Because that's what they said it leads to, is sadism and Machiavellianism.
Man, he nailed that
word. I think they looked up dark tetrad and just started writing the words down that came underneath that. And they're like, these are all the personality traits.
Dark tetrad is in here. How did you know that?
Because he's one of them.
Yes, he is.
Machiavellianism, psychopathy.
It says, you tell me about this one here. Interestingly, online trolls did not appear to enjoy being trolled, but they enjoy trolling.
It depends on the kind of trolling.
You can appreciate a good troll.
I can appreciate a good troll. A good troll. The lame ones are lame, and that doesn't entertain me.
The left can't meme.
No.
So they don't have really good ones.
It's fun. You're not when they try. Bad.
Next one is dogs can smell their human stress, apparently. Previous research has shown that dogs are apt at reading verbal and visual cues, as well as sniffing out physical and mental illnesses in people. But a new study published last week in Scientific Reports cautioned that dog owners that the ills of humanity are depressing your pets. Can you tell?
No, I'm never stressed out.
That's what I thought.
Totally chill. My dog just does circles all the time in the room. It's like the zoomies on steroids, but I don't know why. I'm chill.
I'd have to say
more relaxed
that this is one of those tests that I really like. Because if you walk in, your dog's all jumping up, you're like, hey, I must not be stressed. My dog's doing fine.
I think dogs are super smart, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't doubt that dogs are able to sense things. I don't know that. How do you determine that they smell? What's stress smell like? I mean, I've smelled it on people, but I don't know that it's consistent.
Have you?
Ryan, I got to talk to you later.
What does it smell like?
Kind of like that.
Like oatmeal cream pies.
Just out your pores.
It smells like sugar and crumbs.
And fear.
Two things I really love about this study is that first, the article starts with smells like mean spirit.
Oh.
And second,
you were like, tell me more.
Yeah, I'm in. The second is that their point is that humans are so stressed that you now need to consider your dog. you're overstressed. Think about your dog a second.
Yeah, thanks for alleviating some of that stress now.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that makes me happy in life is my dog when I come home.
Yeah.
Think about the cat ladies. I mean, don't. No.
The cats are fine. They can't smell anything.
Yeah,
even if they could, I'm not sure if they would care.
No, they can smell it. They live off of it.
Oh, yeah. They create it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they suck it out of your body like energy. A cure is a little much. Sorry. last one, and this is the best one of all. The fear of going bald is something that weighs on the minds and scalps of millions of men around the world. But if you're anxiously checking your hairline, there is finally good news. As the science has finally found a potential cure for male pattern baldness. The researchers were not looking for a cure for baldness, but they realized that sugar gel.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Well, we know that's false.
That's where the oatmeal cream pies are coming into play.
Uh-huh. You take the pie, just you eat little... it. You take the cream, you rub it. They noticed that the mice's hair that they were testing this on.
I didn't know that's what you were doing with my oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah, you were probably like,
I regret everything.
It happens when you're out of the room and it's under my hat.
Well, I appreciate you waiting for me to leave.
They found that
under my hat.
If you mix it with mix sugar gel with the Rogaine stuff, that it makes hair follicles.
How do you come up with
grow
that?
Again?
How are you like? Let's try this.
They were trying to heal wounds, and they found out that the hair around the wounds was growing.
Jim Carafano and Scott Pressler on the Annie Fry Show. When we come back in the 1 o'clock hour, don't go away.
It's gonna take time.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
Yeah, this is the science. I apologize ahead of time that you can't debate it, but we can talk about it.
Oh, we can debate it.
No, it's the science. You can't.
You can debate it. Nobody listens.
Science.
We'll just get kicked off of YouTube.
I wish you had some Fauci underpants on right now. Maybe you do.
A long pause and a weird look, Ryan.
Yeah, he's like, how does she know?
Dang it.
You're making a lot of assumptions about my underwear. I don't appreciate that.
I don't want to think about it anymore. Never mind. Forget I said it. I regret everything.
Okay. Do you consider yourself, after that joke, to have a dark sense of humor?
I have a broad sense of humor because I'm a woman.
That's right where I was going. Doggone it. You beat me. Brad, do you have a broad sense of humor?
Can't write this stuff.
I have a good sense of humor, yes.
Are you a good humor man?
No.
The question originally was, do you have a dark sense of humor?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I would think that everybody has a little, even if you say you don't, you have a little streak of it. Because everybody gets a good, like, ooh, taboo joke every now and then. So there is a study about this that says people with dark humor and other, but they took it very dark apparently, other cruel personality traits are more likely to engage in online trolling.
Lump those together.
Doesn't it seem a little much?
Brad's a troll.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you just admitted that you have a dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
They're saying that people who openly admit, yes, I have a dark sense of humor, are more likely to troll online.
Yeah, I troll online. But what was the other part of that? Dark sense of humor and what?
Cruel personality traits.
That is not me.
That's what I thought. Well, I'm like, really?
This seems like the science, because it's like, let's just take two things that we don't like and stick them together and tie them together with the science.
And call them one more thing that annoys us online.
Mm-hmm. And which is kind of vague. You know, if I say you have a dark sense of humor, you can interpret that really any way you want. But now it's part of established science because it's been published in the Journal of Behavioral Sciences. And they are saying
how
that
how did they spell behavioral?
It doesn't matter. How about this one? How did they spell Machiavellianism? Because that's what they said it leads to, is sadism and Machiavellianism.
Man, you nailed that
word. I think they looked up dark tetrad and just started writing the words down that came underneath that. And they're like, these are all the personality traits.
Dark tetrad is in here. How did you know that?
Because he's one of them.
Yes, he is.
Machiavellianism, psychopathy.
It says, you tell me about this one here. Interestingly, online trolls did not appear to enjoy being trolled, but they enjoy trolling.
It depends on the kind of trolling.
You can appreciate a good troll.
Appreciate a good troll. A good troll. The lame ones are lame, and that doesn't entertain me.
The left can't meme.
No.
So they don't have really good ones.
It's fun. You're not going to get that.
Next one is dogs can smell their human stress, apparently. Previous research has shown that dogs are apt at reading verbal and visual cues, as well as sniffing out physical and mental illnesses in people. But a new study published last week in Scientific Reports cautioned that dog owners that the ills of humanity are depressing your pets. Can you tell?
No, I'm never stressed out.
That's what I thought.
Totally chill. My dog just does circles all the time in the room. It's like the zoomies on steroids, but I don't know why. I'm chill.
I'd have to say
more relaxed
that this is one of those tests that I really like. Because if you walk in, your dog's all jumping up, you're like, hey, I must not be stressed. My dog's doing fine.
I think dogs are super smart, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't doubt that dogs are able to sense things. I don't know that. How do you determine that they smell? What's stress smell like? I mean, I've smelled it on people, but I don't know that it's consistent.
Have you?
Ryan, I got to talk to you later.
What does it smell like?
Kind of like that.
Like oatmeal cream pies.
Just out your pores.
It smells like sugar and crumbs.
And fear.
Two things I really love about this study is that first, the article starts with smells like mean spirit.
Oh.
And second,
and you were like, tell me more.
I was like, yeah, oh, I'm in. The second is that their point is that humans are so stressed that you now need to consider your dog. Like, you're overstressed. Think about your dog for a second.
Yeah, thanks for alleviating some of that stress now.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that makes me happy in life is my dog when I come home.
Yeah.
Think about the cat ladies. I mean, don't. No.
The cats are fine. They can't smell anything. And yeah, even if they could, I'm not sure if they would care.
No, they can smell it. They live off of it.
Oh, yeah. They create it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they suck it out of your body like energy. A cure is a little much. Sorry. last one, and this is the best one of all. The fear of going bald is something that weighs on the minds and scalps of millions of men around the world. But if you're anxiously checking your hairline, there is finally good news. As the science has finally found a potential cure for male pattern baldness. The researchers were not looking for a cure for baldness, but they realized that sugar gel.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Well, we know that's false.
Is that where the oatmeal cream pies are coming into play?
Uh-huh. You take the pie, just you eat little... it. You take the cream, you rub it. They noticed that the mice's hair that they were testing this on.
I didn't know that's what you were doing with my oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah, you were probably like,
read everything.
It happens when you're out of the room and it's under my hat.
Well, I appreciate you waiting for me to leave.
They found
it's
that
under my hat.
If you mix it with mix sugar gel with the Rogaine stuff, that it makes hair follicles
grow again. How are you like, let's try this?
They were trying to heal wounds, and they found out that the hair around the wounds was growing.
Jim Carafano and Scott Pressler on the Annie Fry Show when we come back in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go away.